Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we've three men on a mission in Studio 7 with us, two Michaels and a Jamie, and they're here ahead of International Stuttering Awareness Day, which is happening on Friday, 22nd October. And the mission they're on is to talk about stuttering, and in particular, they want an audience with one of the most powerful men in the world, who's also a stammerer, the President of America, Joe Biden. So to tell us about their stories and how they're attempting to get to Joe Biden, we welcome Michael O'Shea. Am I right? How are you doing, Michael?
Hello, how
thanks
are you?
For coming in.
Yes.
Jamie Googan, who we've spoken to before down the back. How are you doing, Jamie?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
And Michael Ryan. We've spoken to you before, Michael,
how are you
as
doing,
well.
Ray?
So you're
good
on.
To see you.
So we've three stutterers in Studio 7.
Yeah. That's correct.
Do you think that's a first, Michael? Do you think it's a first?
Three professional stutterers.
Right. Come into the microphone a bit. Now, because we haven't spoken to you before, Michael, I'll just get your story. You've given me your book, Why I Called My Sister Harry.
Yeah.
And what was your sister's name, or is your sister's name?
Mary. And I wasn't able to say it.
Yeah.
Because my own name, Michael, I wasn't able to say Michael, so I had great difficulty with M's. And why I married a woman called Monica, I never know.
And you were still stuttering at that stage.
I was still an out of control stutter, yeah. Like, I would block, if I was having a conversation with you now, I would block very severely on probably 8 out of every 10 words. So, like,
when you say block, what does that mean?
I mean that if I said Michael, we'd say, hey, why are you saying Michael? And I'm able to bring it back very, very quickly. It would be Michael, I would really struggle, the articulator struggle. But that was all of the tension and anxiety and stress that was inside, because I was projecting how I was feeling inside.
Yeah.
Because with stuttering, you see, it's fear, stress, anxiety and tension. And if you have a combination of all of those while you're speaking, you just won't be able to speak.
And all of that happened to you when you were in school?
Yeah, I was in school and it was triggered in school at the age of 4. It was triggered again about 3 years later. I didn't speak the first time for about 3 months and then I stuttered. No, I didn't speak for 3 months and then I stuttered. And then the same trauma happened again and I stuttered again. But I got the message that if I stuttered in front of adults, that it would end up in physical pain. And that was the trigger. So trauma. And I didn't realise, sure, if you're 7 years of age, like, how do you know what trauma is? But that affected me.
So there were adults, I mean, you don't need to specify who they were, but there were adults in your world who were punishing you for stuttering.
Yeah, and the message I got that if I entered into that world with adults and I stuttered in front of them, it would end up in physical pain.
Yeah.
But it was also psychological pain. And it took me a long, long time to deal with that. And at the time, there was no such thing in Ireland as speech therapy. I mean, to say that was in 1959, I started school, and 3 years later, I was 62, the first speech therapist. And it wasn't even a qualified speech therapist. It was a nun, actually, who came back from Africa from the missions, and they were trying to get her a job. And they put her into speech therapy. And you see her twice a month in Kilkenny, a lovely, lovely, lovely human being, Sister Monica. Monica again.
God, they were throwing it at you, left, right, and centre.
But after about 2 or 3 weeks with Sister Monica, I could speak to her very calmly. But the one thing, Ray, I noticed, right, and it used to drive me crazy, was if I was on my own, I did not stutter.
Mm.
If I was reading a book on my own, I did not stutter. But if I was at home in my own house and if I saw the handle of the door in my bedroom moving, bang.
Gone. Can you describe, because Jamie described it to me and I've spoken to the other Michael about it before, but can you describe then that process that happens in your brain?
The process in the brain is very, very simple. You have a fear of speaking because you're going to be exposed for being a stutterer. So you have fear.
Right.
You have stress before speaking. You have anxiety before speaking. If I was to come in here 22 years ago, I would probably have a cardiac arrest.
Outside, before you even got in.
Because all the stress, anxiety and tension.
So you were in your 40s then before you sorted it out?
I was 44 years of age. I met great people, a great community of people, and I went looking for people. Mm. If I met you and you were a stutterer, and I heard you speaking, I wanted to meet you. I would buy you lunch. I'd buy you a drink to get inside your head. What did you do? And those people gave me vital things that I needed to do, because I needed to follow every one of them.
Yeah.
I needed to learn the power of resisting time pressure and all of that stuff. So I had to learn to speak over again.
Now, just, I'd say everybody's story is different.
Different, yeah.
And it's case by case. But are you living with it, or have you recovered from it?
No, I am not cured. I'm not fixed. Thank God. 98% of the time my speech is fine. But it's complicated. It's the neurons in the brain, how they fuse and everything from your past history of stuttering.
Right.
So you can have a neuron in the brain. I may have a blink in my eyes. I may have a little blip on a word. But the thing is that I've lost the psychological impact of stuttering.
Yeah.
I don't feel like a stutterer, and I don't behave like one either.
No, and you're a great talker. Yeah. I'm intrigued to know about your wedding day.
The wedding day was very, very simple. I was dreading my wedding for about 2 years because I knew I had to make a speech. Built our own house. But so my time was consumed by working, building our own home. But I knew that day was going to come. And my wife will tell you, she's out in the waiting room now. When I got up to make a speech at my wedding vows, my voice was so low you couldn't hear me. Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? I do. Nobody could hear us, except the priest saw
my and Monica
moved. Yeah,
yeah.
But anyway, I was so tense, and she said this afterwards. We went on our honeymoon to the Isle of Man, and 3 days after, her wedding finger, her hand swelled up because I had her hand held under the desk.
So
and
tightly.
She told me, she said, if you had an 8-foot plank, 9 inches wide, 3 inches thick, and hit you across the chest, the plank would have snapped in half. She said, you're
so tense.
Yeah.
So
but
tense.
It's something, it was probably my pride that said, I need to do this. It was a non-mitigated disaster.
I know from reading about you that you were driven in other aspects of your life.
Overcompensation.
Yeah. So you went mortgage free at a very young age, built your own house, all that sort of thing. Yeah. And you were driven as well, Jamie. And you told us, and just remind us about that moment. There were two key moments, I think. One of them was when you went into secondary school, and there was 98 other pupils, and everybody had to say, hello, my name is, I'm from, and this is my hobby. And you were sort of 96th or 97th. So so talk us through that.
So in my own life, there was two very key moments. One of them was my first day inside secondary school. There was 96 individuals in that room, and it was the assembly. So they had to go through their names, where they were from, their hobbies, their interests. And I was the third last person. And I had to sit through every single one of them, say their names brilliantly. And I knew I was going to stutter and stutter bad. And I did. And it was the first time that I ever had a full room laugh. And I left that room, shame, guilt, and a lot of embarrassment. Because in my mind, I knew I could do it. Because when I used to go home and I was by myself, I used to speak perfectly.
Like Michael, yeah.
Yeah, and it used to drive me mad because in public then I could not speak at all. And the next, then I went to MTU and I did my first presentation for MTU and I couldn't get past the first slide because I couldn't say my name and I couldn't introduce the presentation I was talking about. And that was the second key moment because I put myself into isolation and I isolated myself for 3 days. And this is where mental health comes in with stuttering big time, and we're combining the two. Because in those 3 days of isolation, I had extremely bad thoughts in my mind. And I knew I had two roads out. And I took one road and I reached out and I asked for help. And I got the help from Michael O'Shea. But the most important thing is that reaching out for help is one of the most toughest things anybody can do, because you have to want the help first and you have to accept in yourself that you need the help, and you're putting your trust into somebody that you don't know. So you're very vulnerable because you don't know that person and you're building on that relationship. So you're extremely vulnerable and you're putting your trust into somebody else in the hope that they can help you.
And of course,
and I got that help from Michael O'Shea.
Yeah. And you had seen Michael on The Late Late Show with Gareth Gates.
Yes, yeah.
And Gareth, he overcame his stammering. I was doing a bit of research this morning, and Ed Ball, you probably know this already, but Ed Ball, who the equivalent of Minister for Education, he was in the UK, and I saw a clip of him addressing the House of Commons, and he said something wrong, stumbled over it, and they all laughed. And he hadn't admitted up until then, and this is what you were saying, Jamie, he hadn't admitted that he had a problem with stuttering. And he was reluctant to tell people because he thought that was a sign of terrible weakness. And he was in this hugely powerful job. How could he possibly tell people that he had this flaw? But eventually he did, and it worked out for him. So you were in politics as well. That brings me nicely on to you, Michael.
Well, great to be here, Ray.
Yeah.
Great to be here.
But you were the mayor of Templemore.
I was, and I was on the town council. But yes. I suppose as a child growing up with a stammer, I always wanted... I had always that interest in politics, and I always was interested in people doing programmes like yourself, speaking fluently and all that kind of stuff. And I always had that dream. And then when I got the help, and Michael and Jamie were part of that help as well from 2004 on, my dream, I got asked to go forward for town council, thought about it, did the canvas, no hangers on. I knew this was a big step for me because I was challenging myself and speaking, going to the doorstep, telling people what I was going to do. I didn't promise anything, but it was a great honour for me to be on the town council. But apart from that, it was the everyday challenge of speaking to people every day on the street. I could say what I want to say. I could do what I want to do. That's what you do.
Yeah. And you didn't address the problem of stuttering until you were in your 40s.
That's correct. And it got to, at that stage, my confidence was gone. I couldn't even drive. My whole inner being was tore up. The fear, the anxiety, the stress. I was alone. I met my wife, Frances, in 96. She saw the person behind the stammer.
But you were still had the stammer.
I still had it, and I still have the stammer.
Yes, but Frances saw in the privacy of wherever you were that you the real
that's
Michael
right.
Ryan.
Yeah. She didn't let, as Joe Biden says, my stutter define who I was or am.
Yeah.
And that means a lot. And that's why we're here. We're here, just three ordinary people giving a message to anyone who needs help. Go and get it. We're there to push that awareness.
Now, I've heard this over and over again, the Maguire programme. And that's what you did, Jamie. And you were involved in that, Michael O'Shea.
And still I'm involved.
And it's a short, sharp shock. 4 days, 14-hour days.
Intense. It's intense because basically we teach people the principles that are missing. Okay. Person who stutters just wants to get the speaking situation out of the way. They rush in. There's no resistant time pressure. There's no formulation. There's tension there. Everything that is in place is wrong. So when you resist time pressure, you're not giving your power away.
Yeah.
You're staying grounded. I am a person who is challenged by stuttering sometimes. Right? Assertive self-acceptance. Why do people go on any course, speech therapy, anything? Why do people reach out to get help? And I always say to people, if your challenge is stuttering, it's causing you pain, if it's causing you stress, if it's causing you anxiety and tension, do something about it. Reach out. And that's why our campaign is about stuttering awareness, the associated connection with mental well-being.
Health, yes.
And there's a big difference between mental well-being and mental health. It's mental well-being. You can look after yourself. You can go for a run, eat well, exercise, all that stuff. Transfers into mental health when you're getting professional help or you're on medication. So that's why we're here.
Yeah. And now we've a little clip from Joe Biden talking about his experience of stuttering. We'll just play that in and then we'll have a chat about him and your mission to get an audience with him.
What I found was I practiced. You know, all my colleagues kid me, as you heard, about always quoting Irish poets. Well, I had a book of Yeats, and I'd get up in the night, in the middle of the night, with a flashlight. And I'd look in the mirror, and I would try to memorize. what I could in another small book on Emerson quotes. I remember the first one, looking in the mirror with a flashlight in my face because you get embarrassed because you can torch your face. And it's embarrassing. I would practice and practice and practice because I was determined to overcome it. I was led to believe I could. And I basically did.
There you go. And you could hear in the middle there that he stammered a bit.
Yeah. And it's when you go into that point of tension, you see, if you look at fear, you have a fear of speaking, you have a fear of being exposed of who you are, exposing yourself as a person who is different. Mm. That's the feeling. That feeling of difference happens when you're a child. We just say that you had three kids. One of them was challenged by stuttering. Maybe only repetition of words. And you're telling the child, slow down, take your time, take a breath, right? Mm. They have two brothers or two sisters. And immediately the feeling of difference hits them. And they say, why isn't Ray telling my brother and sister to slow down? Then they go to school and the teacher does. Yeah. Or the teacher stops asking them a question. Feeling of difference again.
Well,
that's
called
the primary stuff.
But here's the thing, and the three are completely 100% aware of this, but if there is a stutter in company, tension is created because other people feel uncomfortable, don't they? And they try to do things which I'm sure annoy people no end. They try to finish off your sentence. They try to fill in the word, fill in the gap.
I'll give you a quick example of that. I was about 29, 30 years of age. I was at a house party, and during the house party anyway somebody decided to turn on the television, and there was a film starting to come on, and it was about a fish called Wanda.
Oh yeah. Kevin Kline's character has a stammer.
And
yes.
I was the stutterer. I was the fish.
No, not Kevin Kline, Michael Palin's character.
Michael Palin's character, sorry, But I was there, and the whole room, as you said, you could feel the tension.
Yeah, tension,
right?
Okay.
You could feel it.
Jamie, so this mission to get an audience with Joe Biden, right, what's the plan?
So we have now made contact with the White House, and our video to the president is in the White House for October 22nd. So hopefully a member of President Biden's team will show Joe the video message that came from Ireland on October 22nd, which is International Stuttering Awareness Day. And all of this is through networking with people and, you know, with your own colleague, Brian O'Donovan, the Washington correspondent from RT, who is an amazing support to us. And we're in constant contact with Brian. And without people like Brian O'Donovan and Michael Collins, TD, Gillian Collin and Derry Canty, and the support from MTU, you know, these campaigns can't be a success. And you know, we have been speaking with a lot of parents now, and we have a Zoom call support group with parents of children who stutter so they can talk to other parents, and so that the parents aren't even alone anymore. There's a WhatsApp group now for parents, and they can talk to each other, and we're connecting people, and we're connecting their children as well so that they're not alone anymore. And that's the most important thing with this campaign, is that we connect the parents and we connect the children who stutter so that they're not alone.
And awareness is hugely important, Michael, isn't it?
Awareness
is. So that's
absolutely
why you're up in Dublin.
And talking to TDs and talking to everybody. But I mean, Joe Biden is the driver, and I had the honour to meet Joe Biden in Dublin Castle in 2016, standing in the audience. He comes around, won't tell the whole thing. I spent 10 minutes in his company. I laughed and I cried. He's my hero. And I mean, to give that boost, and that's where the whole campaign is about, and it's about awareness, and we're meeting everybody we can meet.
So you get time with him. What happens then?
Well, we get time with him and things are going to take off. We'll get time with other people. We'll get time with everybody.
And everybody will get time with us.
Then we make contact with
So if you can pick up the phone and say, how are you? We've just talking to Joe Biden there. I want to have a chat with you. Suddenly everybody takes note.
That's it. And that's what it's about other people. It's not about us. It's about the people out there, the silent person who maybe hasn't got help anywhere or doesn't know where to turn. That's what we're about, a simple message.
And does anybody know, Michael, I'll go back to you, Michael O'Shea, do you know where it comes from? Like, other people might have gone through a similar experience to you at school. And yet they didn't develop a stammer or something.
Yeah, I mean to say, like, a lot of people have it in their DNA. It's in their family history.
Uh-huh.
Like, I had an uncle and he had a very severe stutter. And he was also my godfather. And it wasn't until that man was in his 50s that he said to my dad, he said, "I'm sorry," he said, "he thought he gave the stutter
oh,
to
me." Yes, that is contagious.
That's
yes.
Contagious. Stuttering is not contagious.
No.
It's not. But no. I mean to say, like, it happens. And there's 1% of the world's population who's challenged by stuttering.
It's odd, because you said that to me, Jamie, when you were on before. And I watched a BBC report from when Joe Biden got elected. And there's a BBC news producer who used to suffer with a stammer. Yeah. And she said it's 3% in the UK.
Anyway,
well done, Michael O'Shea. The lives you've changed for probably thousands of people at this stage who suffered from the horrible affliction of stuttering. Thank you, says John Barrett. And I want to say how proud I am of my husband, Michael, Jamie and Michael on their hard work, dedication and commitment to the Stuttering Awareness and Mental Health Wellbeing Campaign to raise awareness. Michael, you mean the absolute world to me and our two boys, Shane and Edward. That's you. That's Francis, obviously. Onwards and upwards, lads. And I've a stammer from the age of 12 since joining secondary school. I'd love my name to be Harry, as I find it so hard to say my name, Gary. The physiological pain I went through was awful. I'm 46 now and still stammer, but I just don't let it affect me as much. Brilliant interview, says Gary. And you used to use your brother's name, Ross, didn't you, Jamie?
Yes.
Because you couldn't say Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are actually meeting Ross after this.
You're meeting Ross after this, right? Could you please ask the lads if it works on young people, 12-year-olds? Dave wants to know.
Yeah, if they are a mature 12-year-old, generally it works best when they hit about teenage years, 13, 14, because they're that much more mature. But they can help a child as soon as they notice that feeling of difference. And this is what the campaign is all about, is to educate the parents what they can do.
Yeah.
It's to educate the teachers. The primary school ages of children. Remember, there's primary stuttering. From the child the child starts to stutter is primary stuttering.
Right.
That goes on to about 7 years of age. It goes into secondary stuttering. When it goes into secondary stuttering, psychologically, they're aware, they've learned to hold back, they've learned to avoid, bang.
Okay. Listen, lads, thank you so much for coming in. Now, was something like that, did that require an awful lot of energy on your part or not?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing started this time 12 months ago.
But even though I'm just thinking about coming in today.
Absolutely. The whole thing impacts. But people have been so good to us.
Yeah.
And we'd like to thank everybody. And anybody who wants to contact us can contact us. We're on Facebook and everywhere else. Get our numbers. We will talk to them. You know, and
we
it's brilliant.
We talked to politicians today and we told them facts. Yeah. Right? We told them facts. If they don't put the money into us, who are they going to help? Right, most of our speech and language therapists are being exported. They're going to work in other countries. We can help people, but we need to invest it, and we need to invest it in education and awareness and support.
I hope you get to meet Joe Biden when he comes to Ireland. Michael O'Shea, thank you very much. Jamie Googan, thank you very much. Michael Ryan, thank you very much. Thanks for coming in. Stay safe and good luck with everything. We take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.